Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas time and for all of the things we get to enjoy this time of year. And right now we want to thank you that we can be together with one another and especially with you. As we hear from your word, we ask that you would renew in us a greater sense of awe over the incarnation. Renew in us a greater sense of awe that you were born as a child and that you came to be with us in order to save us. What an amazing truth. What an amazing God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be with you now. And I ask that you would help me to proclaim your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christmas is a great time of year, isn't it? I mean, just ask our kids. I think it took me like forever to try and get them all to sleep last night, and I had at least one of them beside my bed at 5 a.m. already talking about presents. Sorry, what was that?
Well done, kids.
Yeah. All I can say is I'm glad I'm not Santa, and praise God for good coffee. Yes. Christmas is a great time of year because we do things at Christmas we never do at any other time. At Christmas, we put up beautiful lights on our houses, we put up beautiful trees, and we sing beautiful songs. Christmas is a time when we just go right out of our way to be with family and friends. It's a time of good company, good food, and good cheer. There's just so much to love about Christmas. And one of the things that I love about Christmas the most is how it distracts us. It distracts us from the problems in our world. It's kind of like the rest of the year can be like a rough sea. And the waves never stop pounding, and then all of a sudden, Christmas just pops up like a beautiful, shiny island. And even though the waves and the problems are still there, Christmas gives us something else to look at. You know, and sure, Christmas brings its own kind of busy, even that crazy uncle. But just the fact that it's there and looks different is welcome relief. Are you that crazy uncle? I thought so. And so instead of worrying about the world and its problems, I'll be able to spend time with people I love, eat great food, give gifts, and hopefully even get some. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather spend my time doing that than spend my time thinking about the problems in our world. Because if I think of the year that has been, it has been a rough sea. Because I'll think of things like Syria, terrorism, royal commissions, the ICE epidemic, domestic violence. There have been a lot of pounding waves. 2016 has been a rough sea, but the reality is so has every year before it. You know, one thing I've noticed when I sit with young people and talk about life and whether or not they'll get married is I'll often hear them say something like, you know, Dave, I'm not sure I could bring a child into this world, into a world like this. Have you ever heard someone say that? Maybe you've said it yourself. So imagine then if someone came along and said, I am going to bring a child into this world, not in spite of how it is, but because of how it is. What would you say to them? Would you say to them, are you out of your mind? I mean, have you not read the news? You want to bring a child into this world, not in spite of how it is, but because of how it is. Is that what you'd say? But what would you say to them if they took it even one step further? What would you say if they said to you, I'm going to bring my child into this world, not just because of how it is, but for knowing the very worst will happen to him? What would you say then? Now imagine if God was the one who said it. What would you say to God? Because guess what? That's what he's saying to you right now at Christmas. And at Christmas, everything he says in just two words in today's reading. He says it all in the two names given to the child that was born. And so all I want to do this morning is to just look at those two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. So let's start with looking at the one we all know. Let's start with Jesus. Well, it might be hard to believe, based on what we've seen in the news over the last 12 months, but the first century world was even worse than the 21st century you live in, which means it was even scarier to bring a child into the world back then. 2,000 years ago, the world already had wars and terrorists and child abuse and substance abuse and physical abuse. In fact, much of that wasn't even prohibited by law. When you read historical accounts of the first century, it was a dark world. And yet into that world, we're told in verse 21, a young woman will give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And did you notice that? Because this is where Christmas gets a little surprising, let alone offensive. Because we're not told that Jesus came to save us from war or terrorism or abuse or drugs or even violence. We're told he came to save us from our sins. It doesn't say he came to save us from all the other bad people and all the bad stuff they do. It says he came to save us from all the bad stuff we do. In other words, he came to save us from ourselves. He came to save us from our sin. Does it surprise you that it says that? Is that how you feel? Because that's what it says. You see, Christmas doesn't just say something about God. It says something about you. And what it says is said in the first name given to the child, Jesus, which means God saves. And because that's what his name means, his name says we need to be saved. Now, if someone goes to great lengths to come for you, and the name on their shirt said something like fireman, doctor, or paramedic, that name doesn't just say something about them and why they came. It says something about you. It says you're in trouble, and it says you probably need to be rescued. And it's the same when it comes to the name Jesus, because his name says God saves. That's what his name means. But Jesus didn't come to save you from a fire emergency or a medical condition. He came to save you from a spiritual one. He came to save you from your sin. And this is why Christmas is so powerful. Because it says something very different to every other system of religion. Everything else says you need to follow these rules. You need to live up to these standards. You need to jump through these hoops. You need to just follow this formula. That is how you get saved. But that's not what Christmas says. No, Christmas says you'll never be able to follow all those rules or live up to those standards or jump through all those hoops or follow all of that formula. You'll never be good enough to be saved. That is why Jesus was born. That is why God came. It is all in his name, because his name says God saves. Friends, I cannot tell you the tremendous relief that comes knowing your salvation is no longer on you. It is on him. That's the message of Christmas. That is why he was given his name, because it is through him that God saves. And because that's what he does, the only thing you have to do is believe. Well, Jesus isn't the only name given to the child born that night. So let's look at the other name. Let's look at Emmanuel. And Emmanuel isn't as well known as the name Jesus. So what does it mean? Well, verse 23 spells it out. It means God with us. And if we're already told that God saves, why is it also important to know he came to be with us? Well, let me explain why it's important by way of an illustration. Well, some time ago now, Charmaine and I saw an interview of Geraldine Cox, who's an Australian woman who runs an orphanage in Cambodia to this day. And some of our students at ESL shared recently about the appalling way Cambodia treats many of its children. Many of them wander the streets and villages begging and chasing rodents for something to eat. And now Cox's orphanage has and still cares for hundreds of little kids, saving them from things like sweatshops and child prostitution and other unspeakable things. And in the interview, Cox was asked, you know, what is the hardest thing about caring for children that are abused? And without hesitating, she said, earning their trust. Cox said, you see, almost every adult they've ever known has hurt them in some horrific way. And so when they turn up at my orphanage, to them, I'm just another adult that will cause them more pain. For some, it can take months, even years before they can trust me. And so the reporter asked, but how do you know that? How do you know that they trust you? And Cox said, because of the suffocating heat in Cambodia, I lie down in the shade of an open gazebo in the middle of the day to take a nap. And when I wake up, I often find one of these little ones has curled up beside me while I slept. She said, that's when I know that they trust me. So let me ask you this. If Geraldine Cox had stayed here in Australia and just sent a check to Cambodia, would any of those orphans even know that she existed? I doubt it. If she hadn't gone to be with them, to join them in their poverty, would they have any hope of knowing what she is like? If they didn't see her leave everything behind in order to be with them, would they have any idea of how much she loves them and how much she wants to save them? Now do you see why the name Emmanuel is important? Now do you see why knowing God came to be with us means more than you could ever imagine? Now do you see why understanding his name and seeing what he has done means you can trust him? Do you see how it says that even though Jesus was God and is God, he left everything behind to be born as a child, to lay down his life because of how much he loves you and wants to save you? You know, when I started this talk, I spoke about some of the messed up things in our world and how broken it is. And a lot of people will look at that, a lot of people will look at the messiness and the brokenness in the world, and they use that to say there can't be a God, or if there is one, he cannot be trusted. Because how can there be a God, or how can we trust that God when the world is like it is? That's what a lot of people say. But that's not what Christmas says. No, Christmas says something very different. Not only does it say God is there, it says he came to be with us in order to save us. It says he came as a child to suffer with us and for us so that one day we wouldn't have to suffer anymore. The child who was born at Christmas was born for Easter. He was born to die so that through his death we could receive life. He didn't have to do it. We were the ones who sinned. We were the ones who needed to be saved, but he still did it because that is what he is like. And because he's like that, that's why you can trust him. If you've been too busy this Christmas to give Jesus much thought, then just think of his two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. Because everything Christmas says is said in those two names. That God came to be with us because God saves. The fact that God sent his child into this world, not in spite of how it is, but because of how it is, it does not say God has lost his mind. What it says to you is that he loves you more than you ever dared to imagine. So will you make the time this Christmas to love that God who gave up everything to love you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message of Christmas and just how it blows our minds. We thank you for the historical event when you came to be with us in order to save us. Lord, I pray that amazing truth would never grow old. And if we have strayed from you or been indifferent to you, then renew that sense of awe of that amazing truth again. And we ask that you would do that this Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen.